Welcome to the People to Look Up, your podcast about inspirational people. In today's episode, we are going to talk about three writers to look up: Mary Shelley, Paulo Coelho, and Carolina Maria de Jesus. They are totally different, but are not only made good books, but are inspirational persons. Let's begin with Mary Shelley, woman and writer in England in 1800. In that context, she needs to be in the shadow of a man, seeing your talent being attributed to a man and waiting for your work to be recognized by men. Unhappy with society's shallow and prejudiced view of woman, she makes it clear several times that she would never let anything or anyone dictate how she should be like and do things in her existence. Not only as a great feminist symbol, but also as someone able to look at all her pains and shadows and express it in some way. The author never had the opportunity to meet her mother and lost three of the four babies she had, death being present very intensely in her life. Mary channeled all this suffering in a genius way, and today we'll talk about two of her books. Let's start by Matilda. When Mary Shelley finished this book, she showed it to her father, who found it shocking to speak of incest and to the traits of his own daughter in the protagonist. For this reason, it takes a long time to be published. A romantic work full of pessimism and escapism, negative feelings flooding every detail of the natural setting surrounding the narrative. The way the author immerses herself in all these feelings, it is as if she saw life as poetry. The themes of the work are sexuality and the thud of the loss of innocence, a character desperate to expose her feelings that keep coming to her mind, mainly because of her anxiety about being accepted and loved, even after the traumas experienced. This need for acceptance is also present in Frankenstein. Frankenstein is a world-famous book, mainly because it was the first science fiction book in history. If it is possible to describe the whole book in one word, I think it would be loneliness. But this book affects my subjective so much that I think it's better to separate it by topics. Both are God. Frankenstein is the creator, and the monster has the power to cause suffering in the science life, seeking to do justice. Both have the power of a god, but neither had greater empathy than fear and human covetousness. Be it fear of their own acts, creations and their consequences, or fear of rejection and loneliness. Abandonment. Who never felt that he was abandoned by the own creator, and as much as you wanted peace and refuge, you only suffer more and more from human evil. Appearance. What differs the creator from any other being? He was just a pure and immature being, but because of his monstrous shell, he suffered so much repression that he could really turn himself into the monster that everyone saw. Hope and expectations. Even though he had already suffered with humans, the creature still helped and admired a certain family indirectly, from a distance and without being noticed, hoping that maybe with them the things could be different and he would be loved and welcomed as he never was. Hate and Deport. Reading, I was able to imagine how empty a life without love must be. The creature has always been beaten and despised by the human race. And the more hatred they cast, the more hatred it cultivates for itself, for not being able to fit in. In this contest, envy also enters. Life was not easy, but despite the problems, everyone seemed happy. Why would he never be able to achieve such happiness? And for last is the revenge. No one is able to quiet an empty heart, and since it was not possible to fill his heart with love, the monster tried with hatred. As much as, for a moment, he was moved by revenge, hatred is not able to bring meaning to anyone's life. And after this thirst of revenge is quenched, only grief remains. The only way the creator found to achieve peace was, unfortunately, suicide, a death that occurred slowly and painfully, putting an end to this tragic life. Talking about suicide comes a work by Paulo Coelho, called Veronica Decides to Die. The starting point of the story is precisely Veronica's suicide attempt, who ends up in a sanatorium. There, she starts to see life in a totally different way and enjoy every second of her existence, savor each experience that this life has to offer, since the only certainty we can have in this life is the death. But talking about the writer, who is Paulo Coelho? Well, he is a Brazilian author whose 19 books include The Alchemist, which is the best-selling Brazilian book of all time, the most translated living writer in history. Another admirable feature of him is his political position, talking about his torture suffered during the military dictatorship, a time when the country is facing such a setback, with a considerable number of people looking at the time with blind and deluded nostalgia. Paulo publicly shared what the dictatorship really was. But going back to the books, there are still other reflections raised by the author. Besides politics, let's discuss some other works. The Witch of Portobello. It had a very mystical vibe that attracted me and gave me greater learning about the famous to know, to dare, to will, and to keep silent. For actions that do not apply only to a mystical religious context, but to life as a whole. Knowledge is never ending, and we must constantly be learning, questioning, and expanding our horizons. And one of the most important things to know is to know yourself. To dare can be interpreted as to have the courage we need to grow. By daring ourselves to step out of our comfort zone, moving into a realm that is far outside what we use it to. To will means to have determination and perseverance. Nothing of any value comes with easy, and you have to want and act for this. To keep silent is to keep your personal things, problems, beliefs just for yourself. The biggest mistake of Athena, the protagonist, is the fact that she has made too much noise and made people believe that for some reason she was different, special and powerful. This lie inflated her ego and put her life at risk. The Valkyries. It also dialogues a lot with this mystical vibe, but is much more personal, because it's about a trip that Paulo took with his wife for 40 days in the Mojave Desert in search of talking to the guardian angel himself. In the desert, the couple often gave their lives to this angel, which was really dangerous, as it's a divine solution which appears to solve all their problems. But it is as if the universe provides you with certain tools and only a reaction with what you have could really change anything. After they learning a lot on this journey. But I understood that it might not be necessary. The author recounted his relentless search for his angel. But perhaps the question is just to find the sacred within you. The Diary of a Magus. In this book, Paulo Coelho describes his pilgrimage along the sacred Caminho de Santiago da Compostela in search of that sword. On this journey, he learned to get rid of the urge to get his destination soon, allowing him to get the best out of the way. There is a very inspiring phrase in this book, which is, "All paths are magical if they lead us to our dreams." And the author also discovered that having a dream is not enough, but first you have to find out how to make it happen. Another discovery of this trip is that the exceptional is not in the spells he learned in tradition, but in the path that ordinary and simple people take to achieve their goals. And it is in this context that we will talk about the next author, Carolina Jesus. And finally, let's talk about another feminist icon and she of great importance to the Black movement, Carolina Maria de Jesus. She was one of the first Black writers in Brazil, as well as being a poet and composer. A solo mother of three, she lived a considerable part of her life in the Canindé slum, in the north zone of São Paulo, supporting her family as a paper packer. At the same time that she worked as a waste packer, she recorded the daily life of the community where she lived, and the notebooks she found in the material she collected, which she numbered more than 20 notebooks. Some of these notebooks gave rise to the Child of the Dark, launched in 1960 and translated into 14 languages, published in more than 40 countries. Despite this international success, Caroline and her family did not earn $1 from the money made with the translation. During her lifetime, the author published 4 books, and after her death, 6 posthumous ones came out. This book is a good dose of reality. It portrays in a starkly the inequality experienced in our country. I personally am only able to read it slowly, and the certainty that I have is that Carolina is an extremely strong woman to struggle with all these experiences. Not having a comfortable zone, going hungry, and living in an uncertainty if tomorrow the bills will be paid. This scenario, despite having happened in 1960, is still a Brazilian reality. And that is why we must fight for the population to have its rights met. Further to her origins, there are still many other reasons to admire this woman. At several points in this text, Carolina makes clear how much she values her freedom when she affirms and reaffirms that she raises her children alone, that she keeps her family alone, and that she owns herself and dominates her impulses. In this sense, the insertion of a man in his life, in her life, can be seen as a threat. From the moment that he is configured as an element of domination capable of paralyzing her affirmation process as a woman, mother, and writer. When Carolina records, "That is why I prefer to live only for my ideal." It's up to us to ask, "What ideal is that?" She also replies in the same diary, "Everyone has an ideal. Mine is to enjoy reading." Despite so many obstacles, Carolina always invests the short time she had in the best possible way: reading. Let's go to another quote. "There are many people here in favela who say that I want to be a lot because I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink because I don't like it. And it's over. I'd rather spend my money on books than on alcohol." We can see that for the writer, the book is humanity's best invention. Besides that, men associate reading with the addiction to drinking, she indicates that read allow her to get drunk, to dream, to travel through the unknown, and to escape the harsh reality in which she is immersed. But unlike Mary Shelley, who we have already discussed such greatness, Carolina does not write for the bourgeoisie, but for the people. "The human," wrote we saw in Frankenstein, "is well spelled out in the diary, but nothing is camouflaged by fiction." And before, what was about an individual, the creature, on Brazilian scene is about a whole group of people who for the body, skin color, clothes, and other aspects are marginalized and despised by the São Paulo society. A phrase that echoed from this book is the following. I classify São Paulo as follows. The palace is the visiting room. The seat hall is the dining room. And the city is the garden. And the favela is the backyard where the garbage dumps. We are still treating other human beings like trash today. That's why this reading is so painful. Since Carolina put all her pain on the diary, and that despite so much struggle, it should take a long time to heal our society. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and that you can reflect on all the issues raised here today. See you in the next episode of People Should Look Up. Bye!